You can turn to Mark chapter 11, and I apologize about my voice, but God is healing it. Amen. I've been getting over a head cold and chest cold. My wife got on to me. She says, Mark, you're not getting enough rest, and you've been hunting too much. So, and here's the deal. She's right. So anyway, the title of this message is Mountain Moving Faith. And if you haven't been here, we've been in a series. They're really just standalone messages going through the Gospel of Mark, taking a chapter out of a time and just pulling a message out of each chapter. And so last week was Mark chapter 10. You can go to our podcast and listen to those at hfchurch.com. But today we're in Mark chapter 11, and this is where Jesus is teaching his disciples about mountain-moving faith. And we're going to start off here in verse 20. It says, in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Everybody say, have faith in God. Okay. Verse 23 says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Now, if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to do that on the back of the bulletin, I want you to write down number 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I'm going to give you four characteristics of mountain-moving faith today. But we have to realize, as I don't think we teach enough in the body of Christ. My dad and I talk a lot about, you know, he said, Mark, we don't need preaching. We need teaching, to expound upon the Word of God. And we don't teach enough. I mean, there's a place for preaching. Don't get me wrong. There's a place for teaching. But he was talking about what believers need is they need teaching. And so I'm going to teach you about faith today. And Hebrews 11:6 is a powerful scripture. It says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So faith is an important part of our walk with Christ. Amen. I want you to look at a few more of these scriptures. It says in Jesus said, everything is possible for one who believes, or the one who has faith. In Matthew 13, verse 58, and this is when Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, he said, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith or their lack of belief. And I want to tell you this morning, faith is very critical. I mean, the Bible talks about it, that we live by faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith, what I just read in Hebrews 11:6, our faith is what pleases God, and faith is what receives from God. So faith is very, very, very important. Okay, so we're going to get into these four characteristics, and here's the first one. Then we're going to pull these out of Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 25, when Jesus was teaching his disciples. They were amazed that the fig tree that he came by that didn't have any figs on it, and he cursed it. That's a whole other message in and of itself. But they were amazed as they came back by the next day that it was dried up to its roots. And so that was an opportunity, an object lesson for Jesus to teach them about faith. And so here's number one, mountain-moving faith is in God. And that's why I had y'all repeat that in Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Okay. And I learned this, so I wrote down something. I found this about what real faith is. Real faith in God is heart faith. It's not head faith. It's heart faith, and it believes the Word of God regardless of what the physical evidence may be. It's a heart faith. It doesn't believe with it. It's a faith that doesn't believe with its senses. That's what I'm trying to say. It believes with the heart. That's what real faith is. And so, you know, the disciples, just like us, they were just amazed at Jesus because he did everything by faith. And so I'm going to try to show you in other gospels in the same principle that Jesus was teaching his disciples. And this is taken out of Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 6. It says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And he replied, I want you to listen to this. This is how Jesus replied to them when they said, increase our faith. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, which I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed. I should have put a, you couldn't even see it if I put it up there on a PowerPoint slide. It's a very small. It says, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now here, this is good news, because your faith, I want you to understand this, because a lot of times as believers we get this messed up. Your faith must be in God. And I know everybody's sitting there going, well, yeah, we know, Mark, that's what Jesus said, dirty, our faith. But I'm going to tell you, as believers, I've done this. I've slipped up and done this. Your faith must be in God, not faith in your faith. You need to write that down. It's not faith in your faith, because there's a lot of times I have been weak in faith. But when your faith is in God, Jesus said, you don't have, and here's the other thing is, you don't have to be a great person of faith. That's what Jesus was saying. You just got to have a little bit of real faith, and things will happen. That's what I love about that. You don't have to have great faith. Jesus said this is not complicated. He said you just need a little bit of real faith in God, and powerful things can happen. That's what I love about this. All right, has everybody got that? Because sometimes as believers, I've done it. You're like, well, I have faith in my faith. No, your faith has to be in God, not faith in yourself, not faith in your faith, but faith in God. All right, here's number two. This is a big one. Mountain-moving faith speaks. And I know some of you are probably sitting there going, oh, here we go. He's going to talk about that name it and claim it and all that kind of stuff. No, I'm telling you, I know there's been some of that go around and some people get off and some of the best things I've ever heard, one of the best analogies I ever heard one time was a pastor said, he said, for every you know, like take a road, and he said, for every mile of truth, there's 2 miles of bar ditches. I want you to think about that. So you can get over into the left or to the right pretty easy. And so there's some people that's got over into left field with the name it and claim it stuff and walking around laying their hands on Cadillacs and saying, you're mine in the name of Jesus. You know, well, not necessarily. That's not going to happen. And so people have gotten weird with faith is what I'm saying, the word of faith. But mountain-moving faith does speak. Okay? Mark 11, verse 23 says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. All right, you got to say it. Look at somebody and say, you got to say it. You might want to write this down because this is pretty good. Doubt left unexpressed will die. Faith expressed will grow stronger. Talking about when you express it, when you talk it, when you believe it. It's not just one thing to sit around and think about it. It's a whole other thing when you start speaking it. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, I am not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I feel. I am moved by what I believe. And this is what's wrong with many of us. Many people, here's the three things we do. Number one, we put feelings first. And then the second thing we put faith in our feelings. Instead of faith in our faith, we put faith in our feelings. And then number three, maybe some faith in God's word at the very last. But we've got to reverse that. We've got to put faith in God and faith in his word. So the reverse order is this. Put God and his word first, your faith in God and his word right there together, and then your feelings come in last. You don't walk by feelings, you walk by faith. Your feelings are actually, you're a three-part being. You're created in the image of God, spirit, soul, and body. Your feelings are the voice of your body, is your feelings. Reasoning is the voice of the mind, and conscience is the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's where God speaks to you at. So I want to show you some more of this where Jesus, just showing you everywhere in the Bible where Jesus tells his disciples to speak. He's telling us to speak. He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. Luke 17, here's another one. We just read this earlier. I'm going to read it again. Luke 17, verses 5 through 6. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say, there it is again, you got to speak it to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Look at somebody and say, you got to speak it. That's why, God, you're a speaking spirit. You're different than anything in the animal kingdom. You're not an animal. You're created in the image of God. God spoke and things happened. You're created in his image, and he wants you to speak. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. If you don't believe me, that is a powerful scripture. And if you don't believe me, then go home and start speaking death over your marriage and see what happens. I don't recommend that, by the way. Okay? I'm not going to do that. But immediately things will start changing in your household. The environment changes. The atmosphere changes. Everything when you're a person that speaks death and negativity in your home. If you're a person of faith, speaking faith-filled words, positive, upbeat, and all that, the atmosphere changes around you. Have you ever been around a negative person? Don't look around. You can raise your hand, but don't look around. They can just drain the life right out of you. And then if you've ever been around somebody that's a person of faith, you want to hang out with them. And there's a reason for that. That's that God factor that's drawing you to that person. So death, it's so true. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. This is a big one because I don't think we speak it enough as Christians. We think about it a whole lot. We even pray about it a whole lot, but then we don't speak it. Even after we pray about it, we start having these doubts and unbelief, and we stay silent. So you got to keep speaking it. Everybody said, amen. I'm going to use an example here. Is we're trying to sell our house here in Leedy. A lot of you know that. I'm going to take a whole nother rabbit trail here this morning. Okay, on my house, I have my sign out front, right? And the sign says gluten-free. All right. That is just a marketing gimmick to get you to look at the sign, all right? This is no joke. This is no joke. I don't know who it is, but they're probably going to hear this on the radio or something. Or if you know who it is, you can send them this message. But somebody here in town was at the bank, and they asked him and says, how does Mark Haney know that his house was not made with wheat products? I was like, oh, my gosh. So anyway, that's a whole nother. But I have prayed about our house selling. I have thought about our house selling, but I haven't really spoke it. You know, and talking about it. And so Jade and I another day, and I knew I was going to be sharing this message today. This is just one area. This is, you walk by faith. We want to live in the country. All right, that's where we want to be, close to here, to the church, but we want to be closer to grandson. Amen. And so we found a place over by Foss where I want to, one of these days, have a boat and be able to fish and all that kind of good stuff. And the person that owns this land, thank God that they're being patient with us. It's on our house. But Jada and I sat down this week, and Jada said, Mark, and this is how faith talks. She said, I feel like that what we need to do, we've been praying about it and thinking about it, but we need to put a date on it. We need to say, Lord, we want this sold by this date and believe for that. And I said, let's do it. And so we've got a date, and we're starting to speak it. So when we're in the house walking around this place, God's going to bring the right buyer. It's going to be a blessing to some family. And so, but that's a part of what I'm trying to tell you is, because I was praying it and speaking it, it's two different things, is what I'm trying to tell you. Yes, you need to pray about it. This is going to be one of the points here in just a second, but you need to speak it too. Because it does something when you speak it, it does something to keep your faith engaged in it. You believe it. Because if you don't speak it, the enemy comes in there with doubt and unbelief and creeps in. And then circumstances and situations will happen, and you'll hear, oh, so-and-so bought another house. Well, there, you know, our house is never going to sell. Nobody likes my house. My house stinks, you know. And it's because I'm not speaking it. If I'd have been speaking it, that would never even enter the equation. No, it just wasn't that. It wasn't for them. It's for somebody else. All right. So this is 2 Corinthians 4:13. Just showing you different scriptures about how we've got to speak. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. That's why when at the end of service, I always have the opportunity to lead people to the Lord. You got to believe in your heart, but you've also got to speak it to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Okay, I love this. This is going to take you back to the Old Testament, all the way back to the beginning, the book of beginnings in Genesis. In Genesis 17, verse 5, it says, "No longer will you be called Abram," which means exalted father. "Your name will be Abraham," which means father of a multitude, "for I have made you a father of many nations." When God spoke this to Abraham, he was probably around, when he spoke it to Abram, he was probably around 80 years old, has no child yet, okay? He's been told that he's going to be a father of many nations. Now, I just want you to think about this, okay? God knew what he was doing. God knew that I'm telling this couple a very crazy thing, okay? By the time that they had Isaac, Abraham was 99 and she was 90. Just think about that, guys. All right, that's crazy. That's beyond human reasoning. It was faith. It took faith. And so God knew, I need them to line up with me because this is going to happen. And so he told them, "I'm going to change your name from Exalted Father to Abraham, Father of a Multitude. And the first person I want you to tell is Sarah, so that when she calls you Abraham, every time she says that, she is declaring into the earth and into the heavenlies, you are a father of a multitude." God had to get them speaking it because they sure weren't believing it. If you've ever read that story, whenever that came up, it says that Sarah laughed about it. I would have too. You would have too. But God got them on board with his plan, and they started speaking it. And lo and behold, Abraham is your, because you've been grafted into the body of Christ, he is your great, 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 great granddaddy. Okay? And so there's two kinds of faith to go along with Genesis 17. There's the what we see in John chapter 20, we won't turn there, but it's the Thomas faith, and then the Abraham faith, which is in Romans chapter 4. And if you remember about Thomas, Thomas's faith was based solely on physical evidence. He was like, if I can see his hands, if I can see that where that spear went in his side, then I'll believe. Jesus had compassion on Thomas, and you know the physical evidence showed him that. And he said, "My Lord, my God." But Abraham's faith was based on God's promise. And that's what we have to base our faith on. Common sense tells us that a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman are not going to be able to have children. But they did, because they put their faith in God's promise. Now, here's the deal. Because you've been grafted in and you're a child of God, I'll show you this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles," which is us, "through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." And I'm going to tell you what, if you're a child of God, then you have legal right to the Abrahamic blessing, and it's threefold. All right, so if you're taking notes, here's three more points. Number one, it's a spiritual blessing, meaning you're going to have a relationship with God. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. Number two, it's a physical blessing. Divine health and healing are yours in the name of Jesus. And then third thing is material blessings, financial prosperity, because God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. And that's the Abrahamic blessing is threefold. But you have to receive that by faith. You got to have faith to receive that. And everybody said? Okay. Here's number three. Spent a lot of time on about Mountain Moving Faith Speaks. Here's number three, Mountain Moving Faith Prays. In Mark 11, verse 24, it says, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." And so there's two kinds of unbelief. First of all, just being ignorant of God's word. You don't understand God's word. I've been there and still learning. We're all in this process of learning. The other kind of unbelief is the unpersuadableness to act upon God's word. And I think that the number one way that you can act upon God's word is by praying it and putting your faith in it. A lot of people mentally agree with the word of God. They will say the word of God is true, but they won't act upon it. They won't even pray. Faith is acting upon God's word. And everybody said, amen. And one of the ways that faith, you can act upon God's word, is by praying. And I'm going to tell you why there's a lot of people that, you know, they get hung up on not praying or not putting, you know, just not praying. They have just prayerlessness. And everybody still taking notes? I got three more points for you. All right. Number one is a lot of people they feel unworthy. They feel guilt, shame, and condemnation, so they don't even go to God and ask for anything. And God is like, no, I don't. I sent my son to forgive you so I could have a relationship with you. A lot of people, that is a huge hurdle for them. They can't get over that. And it's a wrong Father God concept. You're walking around thinking God is fixing to spank you. Here's the deal. God loves you. And he sent his son to die in your place, and he wants you to get that thought process out. Unworthiness, guilt, shame, and condemnation. The second thing is a lot of people, the enemies of faith, is we substitute hoping, wishing, and mental agreement for real faith, and that's not it. Well, I wish it would happen, or I hope it'll happen. No, you need to pray and put your faith in God. And then the third thing, the enemies of faith, are wavering and doubt. So here's the deal. What did I say earlier? Doubt left unexpressed will die, but faith expressed will grow stronger. That's what you've got to do. I love this scripture right here. 1 John 5. Is everybody getting something this morning? Okay, good. 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." A lot of you don't have anything because you ask not. Jesus, you know, James said that in the book of James. You have not because you ask not. You got to ask. God already knows before you even ask, but he wants you involved. He wants your faith involved. Faith is what pleases him. Look at the asterisk that I have down there. If there's any question concerning God's will, your faith will always stop at the question mark. So I want to tell you, get into the Word of God and know the Word of God. For example, I know it's God's will to heal people. So when somebody asks me to pray for them, for healing, I know that I'm not rolling the dice. I'm not saying, well, you know, sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. I know that it's God's will to heal people. And so when you have that kind of confidence, when you pray for someone or pray for yourself, you're in line with God's word. And that's real faith being activated. Has everybody got that?
Yes.
Okay. So here's number four, the last one. And this seems like, okay, we talked about mountain-moving faith is in God. You've got to have it in God, not faith in your faith. Mountain-moving faith, what was number two? Mountain-moving faith speaks. We talked a lot about that. We talked about mountain-moving faith prays. And here's number four. Mountain-moving faith forgives. It's like all of a sudden we just take a right-hand turn. But this goes right along with it. In Mark 11, verse 25, Jesus said, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Now, I want to tell you something. That doesn't say that you need, you know, that you got to run them down and say, you know, "I forgive you." Okay. Now, if the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, that's a whole nother deal, all right? But I've had people call me up and say, "Pastor, I forgive you." And I'm like, "For what? What did I do?" And then all of a sudden, and when they say that to me, now all of a sudden I'm like, "What did I do wrong? What did I do?" Now I'm offended. Now I'm holding unforgiveness towards you because you're holding unforgiveness. You know what I'm talking about? And people get weird and crazy with this stuff. And it may be because I didn't shake somebody's hand on a Sunday morning, or I didn't say hi because I didn't see them at Walmart or whatever. Thank God for Walmart pickup. Amen. It's from God. All right. I'm just confessions of a pastor right now. But I've actually had people over the years, you know, call me up and say, Pastor, I forgive you. And I'm like, I'm clueless. I'm like, for what? You know, and then they'll say something. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I never, you know, now they put that on you, and you got to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm trying to teach you that not everything that the Holy Spirit brings up to you, that you've got to call that person and say, I forgive you. Is everybody following with me? Now, I'm not saying there's been times in my own life that God said, no, you need to go talk to that person. You know, that there needs to be reconciliation and stuff. That's a whole other message. I'm talking every little bitty thing that comes up, you don't need to you need to really pray that through. You don't need to call everybody or go see everybody. Because sometimes you just put something on them that they don't even know what's. See what I'm saying? Is everybody tracking with me? All right, so just when you're praying to God, and if you've got something in your heart, just tell him, Lord, you know, I'm dealing with this. This happened, and I may be totally, you know. And I'm going to tell you something, guys, right now. 95 to 99% of offenses are just made up. They're not even real. The enemy's playing head games with you. And so you need to be cautious. And that's why you just got to get that junk out and forgive and walk in forgiveness, because your faith is not going to work if you're walking in unforgiveness. Jade and I, you know, we've been married for 27 years, and we've shared about this. I can't get up here in this pulpit and share God's word with you if this isn't right with her and I, because it don't work. It don't flow. First of all, if this isn't right, and if that isn't right, those are the two most biggest relationships, you know. And so that unforgiveness, you just got to get it out. And the sooner you do, the better. How many of you are really good at holding grudges in here? I can see you. I can see. I know who you are. You know, I remember what you did to me back in 1999. And you got to let that stuff go, guys. Unforgiveness can cause sickness and disease and all kinds of stuff. You know, stress is way up there too. You need a day of rest. But I'm telling you, unforgiveness is tearing people up, spirit, soul, and body. And they need to just let it go. And so this is in Psalm 66, verse 18, is another scripture. It says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And I'm just telling you, that's any sin. And I'm talking about unforgiveness here. Unforgiveness is a sin. You have to forgive. I know there's some of you in here, and I'm looking around because I know some of y'all's stories, some of you that are in here, and I know there's been some horrible things done to you, but you have got to forgive. Forgiveness is not releasing that person or whatever that happened to you. Forgiveness is releasing you to walk in God's love and his grace. And here's the last scripture, and I love this scripture, Galatians 5:6. It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. I'm telling you, the greatest thing is love. And guys, your faith is going to be expressed even stronger and better and increase when you're walking in love. Don't let anybody knock you off your love walk. I know that sometimes that's easier said than done, because the enemy likes to send people across your path to try to get you out of your love walk. I promise you he does. I had a guy call me last week just on my, I try to witness to people in everything that I do, okay, outside of these four walls. And I have a phone message that just says I'm the real estate preacher. And then I say, God bless you, at the end of it. And I had a guy chew me out on my voicemail for saying, God bless you. He said, if I wanted to be preached at, I would have went to church or something like that. And I'm like, dear God, this guy needs Jesus bad, you know. Did I call him back? Nope, I didn't, because the Lord told me not to. This guy was just, I'm serious, he did. This guy was just looking for a fight. And I'm telling you right now, some things, because if I'd have called him, I'd have got all out of sorts and it would ruin my day and everything. Sometimes you need to pray. You don't need to fight every battle that comes your way. And you need to pray about it. Everything that comes your way, you don't need to step into it. Some of them you might. The Holy Spirit says, no, this is yours. You know, you need to fight this one. You need to fight it by faith. That was one the Holy Spirit said, nope, you're just wasting your time. I said, okay, thank you. Thank God for voicemail. And that you can swipe and delete those, you know. I'm just trying to be real with you guys because this same stuff happens to me and I'm trying to teach you. Sometimes you do have to fight things by faith, and sometimes you just like, I'm not going to let that rent space in my head one more second. And you've got to discern that with your walk with God. Because sometimes he will have you. He'll be a David and Goliath kind of thing. No, you need to fight that. You know, and that's where, if you'll read David and Goliath, David didn't put faith in his slingshot. He didn't put faith in how he knew how to whip that thing. He didn't even have faith in his faith. The whole thing, when you go look and read that in 1 Samuel 17, when he was speaking to Goliath, he was talking to his God. He was telling him how big his God was. His faith was in God. So, did everybody learn something today?
Amen.
Okay, good deal. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I, like I said earlier, I do this every Sunday because I don't know, you know, when we have guests every Sunday here. We have people that listen to this on the radio next Sunday. People listening to this will be listening to this online. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the Bible says it's very easy to do that. In Romans chapter 10, it says you got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and that he is the Son of God. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you do know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer with them, okay? Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, your very next step of obedience is to follow the Lord in water baptism, and we can do that next Sunday. We actually have a heated baptistry here, and I'd be honored to do that. And Jada, will you come up here with me, babe? And we're going to want everybody to stand in here, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. This is a blessing that comes straight. It's a little bit more in depth, but it's straight out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, you've got mountain-moving faith.
Atmosphere is changed.